And I'm back. This is Ms. G giving you Left Hanging here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And I am reading you the story tonight, The Seven Fears, from Spirit of the Siberian Tiger, Folktales of the Russian Far East. It was still the time when a Yudiji, looking at a stone, saw a stone man. Looking at a bear, he thought he saw a bear man. Looking at a fish, he thought he saw a water man. Looking at a tree, he thought he saw a tree man. In those times, all sorts of things happened to people. Such things happen that nowadays do not. There were two brothers, Solimdiga and Indiga. They lived in the upper reaches of the Kopi River. The father had died, but before he died, he told them, "Always stay with one another. If something bad happens to one, let the other help him. Both of you look in the same direction. Do what I just told you." When their father died, the brothers entwined a white plait into his braided hair. They placed him in a grave with his feet pointing east so that even after death he could see the sun rise. For 7 days they brought food to their father. They fed his spirit. Then they went hunting. "Both of you look in the same direction," the father had told the brothers. But the younger brother, Indiga, walked behind his brother and looked in all directions. Indiga was very fast with his eyes. He did not like to look in one direction. The brothers walked and walked. Indiga looked to all sides. Suddenly he heard a noise. He looked around and saw a tiger bounding at his brother from the bushes. His brother could not use his spear or draw his knife in time. Indiga was farther away. He should have thrown his spear at the tiger, but Indiga became frightened like a hare. He threw himself to the ground, folded his arms, and begged the tiger to go away, to leave him and his brother alone. Indiga lay there for a long time. When he finally lifted his head to look, the tiger and his brother, Solimdiga, were not there. Both had disappeared. Indiga's heart started aching. He called his brother. He called and called, but nobody answered. Only the mountains echoed his calls. "So, Solim, Didi, Gaga, ah." Indiga began to cry. How could he live without his brother? What would he say to his kin? How would he throw the shame off his face? Indiga cried and cried, but there was nothing he could do. At home, his mother was waiting. He needed to continue hunting. So Indiga started looking for traps. And one of them was a weasel. As soon as the weasel saw Indiga, he called out to him, "Go away, you brother loser." He chewed off his own leg, which had been caught in the trap, and scampered off. Next, Indiga looked at the snares. A polecat was sitting in one of the nooses. When the polecat saw Indiga, he began to yell at him, "How can I possibly give myself to you? You're disgusting. You've lost your brother." The polecat tore the noose to pieces and walked off into the taiga. Then Indiga shot a goose. The arrow hit the goose below its wing. The goose tore out the arrow with its beak, threw it back at Indiga, and yelled at the lad, "Why should I fall prey to such a person? Indiga lost his brother." So saying, the goose flew to the middle of the river, folded his wings, hurled himself into the water, and drowned. After that, neither animals nor birds would have themselves as prey to the one with a frightened hare's heart. Indiga sat down and began to think. He thought for a long time. He smoked all of his tobacco. He smoked all of the dry moss around him. His heart was aching. Indiga thought, "So I've lost my brother. It's a bad thing to lose a brother. My heart aches." "You lose a pipe and you're not satisfied until you find it. I lost Solimdiga, my brother, and I'm going to search for him. If I find him, my heart will stop aching. If I die, my heart will stop aching." Indiga went to his mother and sank to his knees. He told her all. He told her how his heart became like that of a hare. His mother kissed Indiga. In tears, she said to him, "Your father taught both of you to look ahead. You did not listen to him. Now you've lost your brother, and you've found in yourself a hare's heart. Go and search for a man's heart. Go seek your brother. He disappeared because of your fright. You'll bring him back only by being brave. Ndiga took his pipe, a steel fire striker, his knife and a spear, and set out. Unsure which way to go, he headed in the direction of the setting sun. He met a creeping snake and asked where he should go to find his brother. The snake did not know. He went on farther. He met with a mouse running on the ground and asked her if she had seen Sulamdiga. The mouse had not seen him. Ndiga went on farther. He saw a squirrel climbing in the trees and asked her. No, the squirrel had not seen his brother. He came to a river and saw a fish swimming in it. He asked the fish if they had seen Sulamdiga. The fish had not seen him either. Ndiga went on. He asked a jumping frog. The frog had not seen him. He saw a flying wren and asked her. The wren answered that she had not seen Sulamdiga. She flies low. He asked a crane that flies higher. The crane had not seen him either, but suggested, ask the eagle. He flies higher than anybody. Ndiga began to ask the eagle if he had seen where the tiger took his brother Sulamdiga. The eagle answered to him, your brother is far away. He can be found if you endure 7 fears. Now you have the heart of a frightened hare. When your heart becomes like that of a brave man, you'll find your brother. The eagle then plucked out one of its feathers and said, I'll help you. Wherever my feather flies, you follow it. As the feather flew toward the sunset, Ndiga followed. How long he walked, who knows? He crossed 3 brooks. The feather flew ahead of him. Ndiga looked directly ahead as his father had taught him and strode on, having lost his brother. Finally, he came to a river. The eagle's feather flew over the river. Ndiga made a boat and floated it in the water. The water boiled as if it were in a kettle. Steam arose out of it. Fog formed in the lowland. Ndiga's boat began to shrivel and warp and sink. The fish had boiled, floated to the surface, belly up, and looked at Ndiga with their white eyes. The scene struck terror in him. But Ndiga knew work had to be done, or his heart would remain that of a frightened hare forever. Ndiga said to himself, this is not fright yet. Fright is still ahead of me. Ndiga placed his bow between 2 trees overhanging the river, their trunks anchored on the banks. He pulled back the bowstring and secured it with a twig. He placed an arrow on the bowstring. With one hand, he grasped the arrow, and with the other, he broke the twig. The twig rebounded. The bowstring broke loose. The bow unbent. The arrow flew. It carried Ndiga over the boiling water. The steam swirled up, scorching him. Ndiga suffered. The river was wide. As he flew, the lad became scorched all over. It's nothing, he thought. It'll heal. The arrow dropped on the other bank. Ndiga got to his feet. He saw the eagle's feather waiting for him. As soon as the lad reached ground, the feather flew farther. Ndiga walked after it. He walked and walked. He jumped over 3 brooks. He climbed over 3 hills. Between 2 mountains, he saw a stony clearing. A narrow path led to the clearing. The path was dotted with bones and fenced in by skulls. Ndiga was frightened, and the eagle's feather flew down that little path directly to the clearing. Ndiga saw that in the clearing there was a den of the tigers. There were as many tigers as there are bees in a beehive. They were tearing their prey to pieces. They were caressing each other. They were lunging at each other. The tigers were roaring so that it sounded like a thunderstorm over the den. The eagle's feather flew through the den. Ndiga stopped. His heart was pounding. They're going to eat me, he thought. Let me smoke a pipe, perhaps for the last time, Ndiga said to himself. As he finished smoking, he suddenly remembered the fire striker. From the tender fungus around him, he pulled out dry grass and platted it. He put the platted grass on his head. He struck a fire and set it to the plat. The dry grass atop Ndiga's head blazed like a bonfire. Ndiga rushed through the den of the tigers. The tigers dashed aside in every direction. They saw nothing except the fire. They did not see Ndiga. The tigers roared, and they beat the ground with their tails. Their red mouths gaped. and Indiga passed by them. He said to himself, "It's obvious that this is not fright. Fright is still to come to me." He ran through the den. He killed a tiger and drank its blood. He took its meat with him, and also its hide. The eagle's feather once again above Indiga flew on. It did not fly over a path. It flew in a straight line. Indiga jumped over three brooks, climbed over three hills, and passed over three rivers. After the last river, the forest began. In the forest, the trees reached to the heavens and grew thick. Sunlight cannot penetrate such branches, nor can the wind blow. Such trees are covered with the entwined roots of plants, and the boughs twist and snatch at you as if they were hands. The boughs let animals through, but not a man. Indiga saw that somebody's bones on the branches had already started to whiten, and he became very frightened. His heart pounding and his hands trembling, he said to himself, "Obviously, this is not fright yet. Fright is yet to come." He put on the tiger's hide, cut the meat in pieces, and strung the pieces on his spear. Indiga went into the forest. The trees stretched toward Indiga, for they sensed the smell of the meat. With their hands, branches, they groped for Indiga. When a branch inclined toward him, Indiga threw a piece of meat, and the trees wrested the meat from each other. The trees began to fight for the meat. They lashed each other with their twigs so hard that their bark and even wood chips flew in all directions. Indiga went farther and farther into the forest, following the eagle's feather. He took with him some branches of the trees, thinking, "I'll light a fire when it becomes possible to do so." The eagle's feather flew on. Indiga jumped six brooks, climbed over six hills, and crossed six rivers. Soon he came to a marsh. The feather flew over it in a straight line. What was Indiga to do? He started throwing the branches onto the marsh to make places to step, but the branches sank onto the marsh's river, and the marsh started to bubble. Small blue lights began to flutter over it. Treading carefully, Indiga came to the middle of the marsh. In his way stood a small, hunchbacked man who had only one leg and one arm. Indiga became frightened. His heart was pounding. His hands and feet were shaking. Although he had never seen the man, Indiga recognized him. The man was called Boko. He does only bad things to people. He leads people into the marsh so that the quagmire can suck them in. Boko asked, "Where are you going, my lad?" "I'm looking for you," replied Indiga. What could he lose? He had nothing to lose. "Here I am," Boko said. "Why do you need me for?" "I've heard from people," said Indiga, "that your one leg is stronger than two." "I can't believe that. That's why I came here. Let's see who can jump higher. Where I come from, nobody can jump higher than I can." "Go ahead, jump," said Boko. Indiga jumped. He jumped higher than the trees. He came down with his legs wide spread and landed on the branches. He sank into the marsh up to his waist. The branches saved him from drowning. Boko laughed. "Really? Is that how they jump?" He laughed. "Here's how it should be." He squatted on his one leg, then straightened it out. And how he jumped! He soared to the clouds, turned his head to look below, and came hurtling back. Meanwhile, Indiga continued to throw branches to get out of the marsh. When Boko landed, he sank deep into the quagmire. While he was getting out of it and wiping his eyes, Indiga reached firm ground. He stood on a level place. Now he had no fear of Boko. Indiga said to himself, "That still was not fright. Really, fright must be ahead of me." Boko cried out to him, "Hey, boy, did you see how you have to jump? Come here." "There's no time," cried Indiga. "I have other things to do." And the eagle's feather flew farther. Indiga could not dry himself. Covered with mud, he went farther. He jumped over 9 brooks and climbed over 9 hills. When his high fur boots were worn through, Indigo went on barefoot. With aching feet, he walked around 9 lakes. Out from the last of the lakes, a large snake crawled. His stony scales glittered. His scales were ringing. Flame shot out of his mouth. Under the snake, the grass was on fire. The snake breathed on Indigo. His clothes caught fire. His eyebrows were singed. Indigo felt awful. He grew pale. His heart pounded. His hands and feet shook, and his forehead dripped with sweat. The lad consoled himself. Really, this is not fright yet. Fright is still ahead. He mustered his courage and cried out to the snake, "Hey, if you want to eat me, take first a piece of fat bacon. Will one piece be enough for you?" He picked up a stone, scraped the quagmire mud from his body, smeared the mud on the stone, and tossed it into the snake's mouth. The snake choked. It could not swallow the stone, and it could not breathe fire on Indigo. Indigo ran away. And the eagle's feather flew straight ahead, not following a path. Indigo jumped over 9 brooks, climbed over 9 hills, walked around 9 lakes, and passed through 9 forests. He walked barefooted, bloodying his soles on the stones. Eventually, he entered a stony ravine. Then something frightening happened. Around him, the stones came to life. Turning around, they followed him with their eyes, swaying to and fro, talking to each other in stone language. And the feather flew farther. Indigo went after it. Suddenly, Indigo spotted a man standing among the stones. Not an ordinary man. His head was radish-shaped, his legs bent, and his stature stood that one had to look upward in order to see his face. Indigo had not met anything like this before, but he knew at once who was standing before him. It was Kakzavu, the vicious mountain man. Indigo became white in the face. His heart began to pound. His hands and feet shook. His hair stood on end from the fright. But he told himself, "This is not fright yet. Fright is to come." He bowed to Kakzamu. Kakzamu asked, "What do you want here?" Indigo told him, figuring himself already dead, "Hey, neighbor, they say that you are very strong." "They speak the truth," Kakzamu replied. "Do you see all the boulders around you? All of them were once people, but I've turned them to stone. I must guard my cliff and everything that's below it. Now I'm going to turn you to stone." He touched Indigo's arm. Indigo's arm turned to stone. Indigo could not shake his arm. He could not lift it. His arm turned black. Indigo almost died of fright. But he regained his courage and said, "My grandfather knew how to do this long ago. It doesn't take great strength to turn a living thing into stone. Can you turn stone into living flesh? My grandfather knew how to do it, but he died long ago." Kakzamu said to Indigo, "My strength is in my power. Whatever I want to do, I'll do." He touched Indigo's arm. The arm came back to life. Hot blood ran into it, and the arm began to shake. Eh, that's not all yet," Indigo cried out. "Now bend over to me, and I'll whisper into your ear what my grandfather knew, but took with him when he died." The mountain man bent toward Indigo. He offered his ear. He was rolling his eyes. His nostrils were so big that a clenched fist could be put in one of them. Indigo took from his belt a tobacco pouch and emptied all of the tobacco into Kakzamu's nostril. Kakzamu began to sneeze. He sneezed and sneezed. All his strength went into his nose. Before he regained his strength, time had gone by and Indigo had run far away from Kakzamu. Indigo followed the eagle's feather again. He jumped over a brook, climbed over 3 mountains, walked around 6 lakes, and passed through 9 forests. He walked his feet to the bone. Indigo walked and walked till he came upon a wall of stone. He tried to go around the wall, but couldn't find an opening. He tried to climb it, but fell. To the left, to the right, the wall stretched across the land. Its top was hidden in the clouds. The eagle's feather hit the wall and turned into dust as if it had never existed. Indigo began to feel awful, so awful that there aren't words to describe it. That wall, so tough you couldn't break through it by strength. That wall, so smart you couldn't overcome it by cunning. Indigo began to cry when he looked at himself. His feet were worn to the bone, his arms were scorched, his clothing was in shreds, and he was hungry. His stomach stuck to his spine. Indiga had endured many trails, and still he had not met his brother. Indiga took out his knife and cried out, "I'm not going back. None of my relatives have ever gone back. I'm going to cut out my hare's heart. I'm going to wipe off the shame from my face." He put the knife to his chest and was about to end it all, when suddenly he noticed a door in the wall. "What terrors lie beyond this?" wondered Indiga. Indiga composed himself. "What do I have to fear? I am a man." Suddenly he heard a man's heart beating in his chest. He took a spear in his hand. He hit the door with all his might. The door opened wide, ready for anything. Indiga passed through the door, crouching low. But what's this? Indiga saw he was at the very place where he had lost his brother, and the wall simply disappeared. All around Indiga, white lilies burned fire red. The birds were chirping. And directly in front of him stood his brother Solomdiga. His brother stood there holding the hand of a beautiful girl. Indiga had never seen such a beautiful girl. She had eyebrows like thin rushes. Her eyes were yellow, shining like the sun. The girl was dressed in a yellow wedding gown. The gown was marked with black bands, such as tigers have. Solomdiga said to Indiga, "Thank you, brother. You were afraid of nothing for my sake." The girl smiled at Indiga. She said, "I am a woman of the tiger family. I fell in love with your brother. That's why I carried him away. But when I saw that you couldn't live without your brother, I got permission from the master tiger to become a simple person. Now I'll be living with you. It will be easy to live with you. You are brave people." They all held hands and walked together. The lad's mother was happy. Solomdiga and the tiger girl became man and wife. And Indiga learned to look forward. Never again did he have a hare's heart. The end. You've heard me read The Seven Fears. The original story was by Dmitri Nagashikin. And this book is titled Spirit of the Siberian Tiger, Folktales of the Russian Far East, edited by Alexander Delinsky, and translated from Russian to English by Henry Michael. I hope you enjoy the story tonight and left hanging. I have a poem out of the same book called Tiger, Tiger Revisited by Gordon J.L. Rammel. Tiger, tiger, fading fast, in the shadow we have cast. What brave law or business deal can thy future's safety seal? What the future, what the hope, the humankind may learn to cope with life and maintenance of breath without this need of needless death? And what sulphurous cauldron groans the mind that lives to sell your bones? And in what moral poverty live those who take thy life from thee? What the learning, what the thought, values a life like yours as naught? In what science or machine can beauty such as yours be seen? Who did he hate who sowed the seed of human ignorance and greed? And can he smile our work to see as we who killed the lamb kill thee? Tiger, tiger, fading fast, from the present to the past, how can mere humanity so quickly still thy majesty? It was Tiger, Tiger Revisited by Gordon J.L. Rammel, out of Spirit of the Siberian Tiger, Folktales of the Russian Far East. This has been Left Hanging with Ms. G, and it's been wonderful to be back on the air live and reading stories for you again. I hope you enjoy the story, and if you want to know more about the book or hear the story again, you can go to our website at kto.org and check on local programs, and there you'll find Left Hanging, and you can catch all the stories that I've read up to now, and enjoy. Until next time, this is Ms. G, and good night.